Well, welcoming once more back to the studio, Chris Freeman from Design a Decade. And, of course, Chris is here to just give us some great life advice. He is a mentor and the Design a Decade program. Just ask you the simple question, where do you want to be in 10 years? Because a lot of those things that are going to happen in 10 years really influenced by decisions that happen right now. So we're excited to chat some more with Chris. Welcome back to the show, Chris.
Thanks, Aaron. I'm really enjoying having these conversations with you. And
this week, look, we're going to talk about something that is very close to home to people, literally, because we're going to be talking about homes and investments. Now, obviously, at the moment, there's a lot of talk about homes because of course, real estate prices. We've seen recent all-time highs. We've seen that come back down. Interest rates are on the rise at the moment. There's a bit of uncertainty. For you, how are you feeling about it? You're actually from a real estate background. So, you know, what's your take on it at the moment? How are you feeling about real estate?
Yeah, it's a really interesting question that I get in quite a few conversations about at the moment, because most of the time we're driven by the news of the moment. Mm. But being 71 years of age, I've been in real estate through the 1990 recession, the GFC of 2007. And I get the question a lot, should I sell? Should I sell? The answer is no, provided, you know, we've got cash flow, we haven't got a drama that we just need to. But when I talk about home and investments to people, what I'm talking about here is not, I'm going to show you all the different things you could invest in, gold, et cetera, et cetera. It's not my expertise. We've got people that people can talk to about that. But what I want to help people do is have capital ownership of things that are going to be there in the long-term future, 10, 20 years' time, where they might need to make changes or be secure. And longevity, which we've talked about through this series, it is a really big challenge if someone doesn't plan outside of their work and then ends up on the pension, if it's still going to be there, for decades and to live that way. And we've had a recent situation where one of our long-term clients have just done little things along the way. I think I've mentioned them before. They've bought a home, paid it down. My generation wanted to pay a home off, never have a mortgage again, which is great. But a lot of our guys will then, when they can support it through their cash flow management, will then upgrade to a better location for them or renovate their home or do things and improve the value of it over time. And this couple had done that just over time. And they had planted seeds in a couple of real estate investments in the lower end of the market, which was what we suggest to people, near the cities or near the coast, so that the bigger prices push out into the suburbs and they help. And in their late 50s, they've been able to finish work and they went overseas. And their one of their renters hadn't paid for a few months, so they were worried about them because they were elderly. And when I went down and saw them, they were 80 years old. They were fantastic people, but really got worried when I said the rent hadn't paid. And as I said in a previous episode, pulled out their paper bank book to check. But what had happened, they just hadn't made it a little increase. They hadn't made it a regular payment, just a one-off. So that was fine. But when I looked at it, here's this beautiful 80-year-old couple who'd worked to 63, sold their home to help alongside the pension, and now at 80, panicking that if they got put out of here. Now, they're two extreme cases, but they point out why we encourage people to think about investing with the home, but outside the home as well, so that they've got that flexibility later in life. And can I just say, there's a lot of talk about people owning all these properties, you know, fat cats are rich, etc. It's not actually the case. Back in the 1990s, they took away the tax benefits of if you own a property and it's costing you more than you're getting in rent, you got some tax benefits. And they took it away. 6 months later, the same government put it back in because they realized that if they didn't have the investment market, they had to build so much more public housing. And we know today that there's a shortage of that as well. There's tens of thousands of people waiting for it. So it's actually providing a service, but just like providing ice cream at the ice cream shop, providing a service for that.
I've heard some people say, you know, because, and I think, you know, it's important to check our hearts that we're not in a place of greed and that we're, you know, but I have heard people say, look, an investment property provides some financial security, but also you can be a good tenant. And maybe it might be that you've got an elderly couple like that and under someone else who's only about the money would kick them out, but maybe, you know, you've got the space to be able to actually, you're helping someone by providing them a place to live.
It's a really good comment, because that couple are only charging the 8-year-old couple half rent.
Yeah, wow.
So they weren't worried about the money, they were worried about them if they were okay in that situation. So that side of things is what we encourage people to do.
Yeah.
And one of the things is interesting, we're over in Germany with our German team, and over there you pay no capital gains tax if you sell an investment after 10 years. So the German team are going, well, we'll buy a few, and 10 years' time, we'll sell the first one we bought, and we'll buy another one, and every few years we'll sell them.
We'll
do a revolving door.
It's awesome.
But your comments about the current situation with interest rate rises, et cetera, it's all comparison to the last 2 years when it was a phenomenal growth in the real estate. And it was a bit of a tsunami after COVID, because you couldn't go out and see property, let alone anything else. But property stays fairly level, little bit of rise for 6 or 7 years, and then it has a push, and then it comes back a bit according to the graphs. But the only reason it comes back a bit is that those that either have to sell or panic sell, they're the only stats they've got for that time. Mm. The vast majority who are just holding through that, there's no stats for that, who's holding. So it all comes back to where we talked. Our cash flow has to have a surplus managed well, so that for surprises or breakages, that we've got that bit extra to hold it. Yeah. But we're very conservative with helping our people find a property that's going to fit into their cash flow and fit into their life. Because the straight out investment, which is sit and forget, and by the way, real estate's not passive income, it's the active income of maintaining property for a long time. You will have to paint something one day or get someone to do it. But that's straight out investment. Then there's development, which is changing something to be worth more. So it might be renovate a place, or it might be put a granny flat on the back, which is a very popular thing these days. And then there's speculation. So if someone buys and builds 20 properties hoping they'll make a profit, it's a speculation. There's a whole lot of things that happen here. So we're not talking about that here. We're talking about conservative placement around your capabilities for the long term. And that way, like the couple that went on the long holiday, there's a contentment. And the contentment I see on people's faces who have got whatever it is that they're investing in, that they know it's growing over time. They don't need to touch it now because they're managing the rest of their life well.
Yeah.
And then they wake up in 10, 20 years' time, which go pretty quick, Aaron, by the way, and we're secure.
Yeah.
So Heather and I, we don't own a lot of property, but we own enough that when we wake up in the morning, we're okay. Not filthy rich, but okay and contented, because you know the verse, godliness with contentment is great gain.
Yeah.
And I've met a lot of Christians in their later life who haven't set up life. They love the Lord, but they're not contented.
Yeah. I'd love to speak now to, say, maybe someone who's thinking about getting their first home. One of the things that I've noticed, and you talked about, you know, different generational ideas, and, you know, back in the day it was just get your home paid off as soon as possible. Do people, we do now tend to want to upgrade, but we also have that keeping up with the Joneses. Do you think too many people going for their first home kind of want to almost get the biggest, best they can straight off? And is that even something they should be doing? Like, you know, maybe if it is the one home they're going to own for their life, or should we be thinking about starting small and, as you said, kind of upgrading? Or what would you say to a first homeowner?
As we finished one of the other episodes with, if you get enough conversation with the right people, the right decision will come. But you do see that happen, particularly in the cities. But yes, in the first place, we just look to help people get what they can get. And sometimes that's not what they live in. Heather and I quite often rented while we had investment properties, because we want to live in a more expensive place that we couldn't afford at that stage. So we do quite a lot of that on the way. An interesting story, and my managing partner, my son-in-law, they had four boys looking to get their first place. So all they could afford was a three-bedroom townhouse. So they bought it and lived in it for 6 months with four boys with just the courtyard.
Yeah, wow.
Just to get in the market.
Yeah.
And then they actually rented it out and went and rented a leaseholder home in the location where they wanted to live in the future to check it out for the future with a nice big yard. And then as time went on and the property was worth more and they paid the loan down, they then sold that and moved to a bigger home on a smaller block halfway to where they wanted to live in the future. And they were there for 4 or 5 years. And then I got a call one day, Dad, we've found the place we want. In the place we want, we've got to move quickly.
Yep.
So you're supposed to be looking with a view of looking, not looking with a view of buying, like we tell our clients. But yeah, they were able to sell and buy in the same process, which is another article we do. And they're now living in the location where they want to spend the rest of their life. But they've got a 3-bedroom home with 4 boys again, so we've got some work to do there. But yeah, get into the market as soon as you can, and then work out from there to get to where you need to be.
Yeah, and obviously all within your capabilities and your means.
Always.
And seek good advice around that. Well, Chris, great to chat with you as always. Thank you for your advice and insight.
It's always a pleasure, Aaron.
Make sure you check out designerdecade.com. Where do you want to be in 10 years? It's a good conversation starter maybe for you and your family. And of course, if you want to catch up on past episodes of us chatting with Chris, you can head to rimacatchup.com.